And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Friday. As I say every Friday, yep, it's Friday.
And Sunday's coming.
Sunday's coming. Joe Barner's in with us. Joe, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Hanging out here on the front porch.
Hey, it's nice and cool here on the front porch.
Well, in this indoor front porch.
Man, it's really nice.
It's about 72, 73. And the outdoor front porch, it's still tolerable.
Yeah, 74 right now, it says, but 91 for a high, and heat index values as high as 105.
So if you got to be out, be careful.
That's right. Drink plenty of fluids.
Yes. Non-alcoholic, of course.
That's right. We don't promote that. But plenty of water, Gatorade, you know, kind of keep yourself hydrated. Light clothing, I think they say, and take frequent breaks.
Yeah.
So just take care of yourself.
I like that anyway.
I like to take frequent breaks. I do too. I do it for a few minutes, like, well, I'm going to take me a break now for about 30. Well,
yeah, it's definitely summertime.
Oh, yeah. But then, you know, here we are, Joe, July.
July.
Then we got August. And then guess what happens? September, October. Things
Falling
start cooling off.
Cooling down.
And then everybody say, oh, I wish it was warm again. And then the ones will say, oh, I wish it would get cooler. You know? But we all have to, you know, just complain a little bit, you know, just a little bit. So, about the weather.
Yeah, I'm glad the Lord is in control of that because sometimes you wouldn't know what to even ask for.
Yeah. I had a lady the other day, she said the government's in control of all that.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay, well, whatever. You know, that's what you want to think, but.
We won't go there.
We won't go there.
No. You know, but sometimes those conspiracy theories turn out to be right.
Sometimes.
So don't discount them totally. Mm. Well, this morning, we're in the Psalms again. And this morning, the psalm they have selected for us to look at is Psalm 18, but we're going to look at Psalm 13 first. And that's where we're headed this morning as we see another psalm of David, this time praising God for when God came through for him.
All right.
That's where we're headed this morning on the front porch. Get your cup of coffee, your diet, Dr. Pepper, whatever.
Whatever you like. Sit back and relax and kick your shoes off and enjoy.
Yeah. Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." I read this in a journal recently. Since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been at peace less than 8% of the time. In the study, the periodical discovered that of 3,530 years of recorded history, only 286 years saw peace. Moreover, in excess of 8,000 peace treaties were made and broken. In this world, you'll have tribulation, as I've been saying all week, but only in the Lord will you have peace. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It taps me into what I need to hear for spiritual growth and keeps me on the right path and just feeds my soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
To exalt King Jesus, missionary radio.
And welcome back to the front porch on Friday.
Yeah, Brian, I read this account from an old edition of Our Daily Bread that several days after a devastating earthquake in the San Francisco area, a young boy was seen rocking and swaying on the school playground.
Yeah.
And his principal asked him, "Son, are you okay?" And the boy said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm moving like the earth so that if there's another earthquake, I won't feel it."
Well, that's a good idea.
He wanted to prepare himself for another shaking of the ground. And like that little boy, sometimes after a traumatic event, we might brace ourselves for what might be coming next, for the other shoe to drop, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
If we've had a phone call that brought bad news, every time the phone rings, we might feel panicky and wonder, what is it now?
Yeah, what is it now?
What's happened now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ground was shaking for the psalmist David after King Saul and his jealousy was trying to kill him. There was a price on David's head, and he didn't know whether he would live to see another day. His days felt very numbered. And that was David's life for as much as 20 years or so, Bible scholars tell us. Well, our psalm for the morning is Psalm 18, but we will get to that when God came through for David. But look at David in his despair in Psalm 13. It's a desperate cry from a man on the run. Psalm 13, 1 through 4.
To the chief musician and psalm of David, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my envy say I have prevailed against him. Let those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved.
We may not have someone after us, an enemy seeking to take our life, mm-hmm. although I've heard folks say that you're not paranoid if they really are out to get you.
Yeah.
But okay. Have you ever felt like God has abandoned you, that he is hiding his face? Have you ever cried out to God as David did? How long, Lord, do I have to deal with this?
Yeah.
You know, many people wrestle with their thoughts, might even be into depression.
Sure.
A great discouragement. Others just can't seem to get past the sorrow in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our hearts can't imagine the sorrow of that fills the hearts of those who have lost little children in that flooding in Texas.
Yes.
Or those whose loved ones are still missing.
Yes.
Did they somehow survive?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's getting less likely by the day.
Yes.
And will their remains ever be found?
That's the question.
How many were crying out as David did for the Lord to remember them, to notice their sad plight, and to come to their rescue? Lord, help.
Yeah.
And yet in the last two verses of Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6, David, in the middle of his questions, says, Lord, how long? He comes to an attitude of faith and trust in the Lord.
But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
I'm always amazed by people of faith, people of great faith, who no matter the circumstances they are going through are able to say by faith, well, I will praise the Lord. He's mm-hmm. been good to me.
Amen.
You know, their attitude might be, I may not see it yet, but I know that God loves me, and I'm already trusting in him for my salvation,
mm-hmm.
and that God will bring me out of this situation and enable me to cope with it. He'll either bring deliverance
mm-hmm.
or comfort or sustaining grace to get through it.
Yes.
Now, for David, the heading over Psalm 18 suggests that it was written after God's deliverance from his trouble. Psalm 13 was his cry from the middle of his trouble. And in my Bible, it says at the top of Psalm 18, for the director of music, or for the choir director, of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Yours say something like that? Or do you not have a heading?
Yeah, it has a heading to it. It says, as a matter of fact, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said.
You know, not all the psalms have a heading
Mm-mm.
over them.
No.
But some of them clue us in on what was going on
yes.
when the words were written. Psalm 18 was David's joyful declaration to the Lord. God's deliverance led to David's response of renewed love for the Lord, and a joyful declaration that encourages us no matter what our circumstances. So let's look at Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3.
I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies.
Now, if you remember the story of David, as a young boy, he had been anointed by the prophet Samuel as the next king after Saul, who was jealous of God's hand being on David's life. Mm-hmm. And you're anointed as the next king. I'm not sure whether the present king might know it or not, whether Saul knew that. Mm-hmm. But he was jealous of David, especially after David was the hero.
Yeah.
Facing up and conquering Goliath. For 20 years or so, David lived as a fugitive. He had lost his youth, his safety, his family, his career, his comfort, and at one point, his connection with his fellow Israelites. He had to live in a foreign country for a while. And even at times, he may have lost his close relationship with Jehovah God. But when he wrote Psalm 18, I think he was back at the point where he could look back and know that although he may not have felt the presence of the Lord at times, he could look back and see that he had never been left alone. God had a purpose in all that he had been through. Hindsight has a way of making things clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2020, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
And hindsight can also make us grateful people, wiser for what we've been through.
Mm-hmm.
So David proclaimed to the Lord to have been his rock, his fortress, and his deliverer. Let's look at each of those terms. How might a rock have been a benefit to David or to someone else in ancient Judea? Well, for one thing, a rock could provide a place of shade.
Okay.
From the heat of the desert. A rock could provide shelter and protection in its cracks and crevices.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall, David took shelter on several occasions in caves in the rocks. A rock could also provide a firm place to stand if you need to fight in hand-to-hand combat.
Mm-hmm.
And a rock also provides a firm foundation for building a structure. And I can almost imagine David singing the hymn, "The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storms. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm." And someone notes, "To survive the storms of life, be anchored in the rock of ages."
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in our home over one of our couches,
okay,
we have a print,
mm-hmm,
that's of a open, like an open hymn book.
Yeah.
And it says Rock of Ages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well,
gosh, I hadn't heard that song in years.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me.
No, I haven't heard that.
Our little cat Biscuit.
Yeah.
When she gets the zoomies.
The zoomies.
You know what?
Cat
gets the zoomies and just races around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she's just a year old. But she likes to get up there with her paws and paw on the Rock of Ages print.
That's interesting.
And so we say, well, Biscuit's rocking the Rock of Ages again.
There you go.
It sounds like somebody's just pounding the door down to get in.
Ah, that's good. Good stuff.
But a rock, the Lord is the Rock of Ages.
Amen.
The Lord is our rock, in him we hide.
Amen.
And God was a rock to David in those ways and more. God had proven himself to be a fortress, a place of shelter and safety. And God was his deliverer, the one who at last had made a way of escape. David spoke in these verses of how his relationship with God had deepened after all that he had been through. And he could now speak to the Lord God of Israel, Jehovah, and say, "He is my God."
Amen.
It was God who was the source of David's strength and who is the source of our strength. I'm reminded of Paul's words, who found God's strength to be made perfect in his weakness. You know, when we're weak and we acknowledge that weakness, God is strong.
Absolutely.
In us.
Amen.
Stronger than we are in ourselves.
So
it's a good lesson to learn to acknowledge, mm-hmm, Lord, I can't, but
right,
I know you can.
That's right. Amen.
David also testified that God was his shield. If you're in battle, what does a shield protect?
Protects your body.
It protects your body, protects, mm-hmm, your heart.
Your heart, yeah.
You have a helmet.
Helmet.
If it's a big enough shield, it covers virtually everything.
Yes.
You know, in our day, we might say that God's protection of his own people is like wearing body armor,
mm-hmm,
that God protects us.
That's right.
And also, God was also his horn, a symbol of one's strength. And finally, God had been for David like a stronghold, a high tower where he could see the enemy coming a long way off and be protected. I'm reminded of Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Mm-hmm. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust." And the Psalms give courage.
Amen.
In times of need. And, you know, look at David's words again in Psalm 18, verse 3. "I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies." We may have even sung David's words as you read them from the New King James.
Mm-hmm.
"That I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord." We sang those as a round almost, mm-hmm. and someone mm-hmm. else would come in. I kept waiting for you to come in, Brian.
I don't know that one.
Okay.
I don't believe I've heard that one.
It's a good reason you...
Yeah, if I would have known it.
That's one of those that being older, you remember.
Okay. Of course, Joe's got just a few years on me.
Just a few. we'll return to Psalm 18 after Pen from the Heart here on Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, "I'm so blessed you fill the air in my home and car every day. Thank you for all your inspiring programs and music." From Hopkinsville, "We thank Missionary Radio for blessing our lives. We love you, and you all are a blessing." From Adairville, "I appreciate your ministry. Thank you for holding on." And from Tennessee Ridge, "I'm always very thankful for Missionary Radio. God bless you all."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our Testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7.
Missionary.
Missionary Radio.
Tasha Layton with How Far, right here on Missionary Radio. And, of course, this is Friday, and it's the front porch.
Well, we're in Psalm 18 this morning. One writer challenges us to have a heart like David with these words. "It's sad to say that many are far more passionate in asking for help than they ever are in giving thanks or praise." Ouch. When God comes through for us, may we not forget to give God the love and praise that Amen. He deserves. And that's what David did in Psalm 18. He describes a little bit more for us in verses 4 through 6 how he felt in his desperate situation.
"The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of the ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears."
David testified that death, or Sheol is the Old Testament place of the
mm-hmm,
dead,
mm-hmm.
had their cords wrapped around him. He was entangled, unable to free himself.
Yeah.
And in his great distress, in his hopeless situation, he did the only thing he could do. He cried out to the Lord for help.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his cry and prayer was as simple as, "God, help me."
Yes.
"God, you are my only hope." And David said that when he cried out to the Lord, God heard him from his temple. Now, remember that the temple in Jerusalem had not been built yet. But I think David is saying, God heard me from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He heard my prayer. And verses 7 through 15 David describes the dramatic deliverance of God filled with what we might describe as special effects. Psalm 18, 7 through 15.
Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devoured fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered, and at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils.
Now David describes in very flowery language the dramatic deliverance that God provided for him. I think it demonstrates the awesome power of God over his creation.
Yeah.
God can move heaven and earth when he decides to come to our aid.
Amen.
Now, we know that God is a God of great compassion.
Mm-hmm.
We know that his love for his children often motivates him to come to our aid. But it's interesting in David's description of God's deliverance that sometimes God is moved by indignation. He's moved by anger at seeing his servants mistreated and abused.
Mm-hmm.
God moved to bring judgment on David's enemies, and in the process, a deliverance for David. Probably from David's perspective, it was, oh, at last, Lord.
Yeah.
Thought you would never move. Remember, he'd been crying. How long?
Yeah. How long, yeah.
So David's plight's pictured in Psalm 18 as a drowning person going down for the last time. Have you ever experienced what that is like?
Going down for the first time?
Or for the last time.
Or the last time.
You think it's the last time.
Mm.
Could be a rescue at the last possible moment,
mm-hmm.
When your life passed quickly before your eyes, as mm-hmm. they say.
Yeah.
Could be a moment on the highway when you pray, Jesus, take the wheel.
Amen.
Have you done that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But mostly the best we can come out with is just, Lord, help me.
Yes.
And look at God's dramatic rescue of David in Psalm 18, verses 16 through 19.
He sent from above, he took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me.
Like a man caught up in a flood, David knew that his enemies were too strong, too numerous for him, but God could deliver him with a dramatic rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I pictured some of the dramatic rescue stories from that flooding in Texas.
Yes.
Who could identify with David's words, that mm-hmm. someone reached down from on high and took hold of me mm-hmm. and drew me out of deep waters.
Amen.
To be honest, Brian, I also struggle and grieve with those first responders and would-be rescuers
mm-hmm.
who came so close to pulling someone to safety.
Yes.
But their arms were too short.
Yeah.
They couldn't reach them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were swept away. But God's arms are never too short
Amen.
To rescue when we call on him, and he is moved to act on our behalf.
Yes.
David said that the Lord had brought him out of his tight squeeze into a spacious place, a place of safety. And I thought of another psalm, Psalm 40, verse 2, where David said, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Why did God do so? Well, verse 19 says it was because God delighted in him.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God had chosen David. He still had a purpose for him. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, the Father delights in you and looks upon you with doting love. like as a father takes pleasure in his child, so does he, God, rejoice over you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the best of fathers,
yes,
that would dote and delight on those children. No, you do with yours.
Yes.
And it seems that how we have lived our lives matters. And if we have lived a life of integrity and godliness and righteousness, it seems to motivate God when we face a crisis in life. I believe he's more likely to come through for us. And that's what I sense David is saying in Psalm 18, verses 20 through 24.
The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore the Lord was recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight.
Now it almost seems like David is boastful of a righteous lifestyle here.
So okay.
I deserve to be rescued.
Okay, all right. But
we know enough of David's life story to know that he had his moments when he strayed from God. But what made him to be described by God as a man after God's own heart is that when David messed up, when he sinned, he kept coming back to God with a repentant heart. And when he did so, he experienced God's forgiveness and a fresh start and a clean conscience. Benjamin Franklin, of all people, wrote of David, "Many princes sin with David, but few repent with him."
Mm-hmm.
And when we repent, when we return to the Lord, he does see us as blameless before him and as righteous with clean hands.
Mm-hmm.
We can get clean hands once
Amen.
Again,
Amen.
Even after we have dirtied them.
Yes.
Well, we'll return to Psalm 18 after Johnny Erickson taught us Sharing Hope here on Missionary Radio.
Hi, this is Shauna on Johnny Erickson taught us Sharing Hope. And today, Johnny wants to share Shannon's poem with you.
Shannon is a dear friend, and she lives with chronic pain. Not a day goes by that Shannon is not dealing with constant, deep pain in her back and neck. But she is such an encouragement to me and to others who know her. Last winter, she wrote to tell me about one particularly difficult weekend. Her pastor husband was away, leading a tour to Israel. And a weary friend from the West Coast had unexpectedly come for a visit. It happened to be the same weekend a bad winter storm hit their region. Without her husband handy and the snowblower not working and with water trickling in on the first floor, Shannon had to put aside her pain. She donned a jacket and started shoveling 42 inches of snow. It was back-breaking work for anyone, but for her, it meant recuperating for weeks. After her husband returned and the snow melted and her friend went back home, Shannon was able to get some much-needed rest. And as she reflected on all that had happened and put it to prayer, the words of a poem began to take shape. When she sent it to me, I just knew I had to pass it on to you. You may be one who struggles with chronic pain. And if you do, listen to these inspiring words that a fellow sufferer has written for you. She wrote, "Pain is the enemy that has no hands, but a powerful grip. He has no face, but an angry countenance. Pain has no voice, but a scream that can be deafening. Pain has no respect for the righteous and imposes himself on the weak. Pain does not listen, it does not quit, it does not sleep. But pain's grip is not stronger than God's embrace. His countenance disappears in the light of Christ's face. His scream is easily muzzled by God's whisper to my heart. His disrespect brings glory to the righteous and God's strength to the weak. God bends down and listens. He never fails and he never sleeps. In all of pain's arguments, God has a greater answer. His grace is sufficient, his mercy is everlasting, and his love is more than enough for me." Wow, what a powerful poem. And what I love about it is that it is so real. It tells the truth. Pain does have a powerful grip, and its scream can be deafening. And I don't care what others say. I know for a fact that pain does not listen. It doesn't care. It does not quit, and it does not sleep. It is relentless. And of all the results of a broken, sin-sick world, pain might be one of the fiercest personal battles we face in a fallen world. Yet, there is that word, but. But pain's grip is not stronger than God's embrace. In all of pain's whining, complaining, and arguing, no matter how insistent its accusations, God has a greater answer. His grace is sufficient, His mercy is everlasting, and His love is more than enough for you.
Friend, are you struggling with pain today or know someone who is? Well, why not share this program with them? And please, go to johnnyradio.org. Let us know how we can pray for you. And while you're there, you can download Shannon's poem. It's something to reach for at the same time you're reaching for your arthritis strength Tylenol. Because God's embrace is greater than pain's grip. Thanks for listening today to Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. Be sure to visit johnnyradio.org today.
Exalting King Jesus with music and more. Missionary Radio.
Yeah, it's one of the neat things that we can come to God just as we are.
Amen.
But He doesn't leave us
as we are. As we are, that's right.
Phillips, Craig, and Dean on Missionary Radio. We're in Psalm 18 this morning. And in verses 25 through 27, we find that how we relate to God and how we relate to others influences how God relates to us.
With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks.
Now, you read in verse 25 that speaks of being merciful and receiving mercy from the Lord. You know, when you think about it, human nature wants to use a small measure of mercy with others, but expect abundant mercy from God. But God gives mercy to the merciful. Mm-hmm. And in fact, God's mercy toward us should motivate us to show mercy to others.
Amen.
In the same way, some other versions speak of being faithful and blameless and pure.
Mm-hmm.
And we should expect God to treat us the way that we treat others,
Amen.
The way that we conduct our lives before Him.
Amen.
God always, however, proves Himself to be faithful.
Yes.
Now, if we are devious, did you find that word devious in verse 26?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What does it mean to be devious?
That you will show yourself shrewd. I assume that's like being rude, right?
Devious is unable to be trusted.
Okay.
Someone is devious.
Okay.
You don't want to trust them.
Okay.
But we find God showing Himself to be shrewd in His dealings with us, and that sounds interesting. The illustration I read was of Jacob in the Old Testament. You know, much of his life, Jacob was a devious man. He was a cheater, a trickster.
Mm-hmm.
If you trick your brother out of, you give him a bowl of soup and said, if you give me your birthright.
Yeah. That's a lot, ain't it, for a bowl of soup?
Now, Esau, he was awful hungry for that soup.
Uh-huh.
And then Jacob, in fact, tricked his father into getting Esau's blessing.
Yeah.
Well, how did God show Himself to be shrewd in His dealings with Jacob? Well, God used Laban, his father-in-law. He was even more devious than Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And He took Jacob down a peg and taught Jacob eventually to be a man of integrity. And we see also in David's words that God resists proud people, those who are arrogant.
Yeah.
and works to humble them. Now, in verses 28 and 29 of Psalm 18, David continues giving thanks to God for giving him the strength and energy and the grace to be victorious, even in battle. That's where David found himself quite often. Verses 28 and 29.
For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall.
David was capable of doing great things in the strength of the Lord. He continues to give God thanks and praise for past victories as well as for present strength. Verses 32 through 40.
It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up with your gentleness, has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me.
You know, many commentators speculated at this point David was not just thanking the Lord for deliverance after all those years of being on the run from King Saul, but also for victories that God enabled him to win when he was king of Israel during its glory days.
Mm-hmm.
I found this devotion from David McCaslin based on verse 33. Very enlightening, where it says, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. The bighorn sheep in Colorado's Rocky Mountain National Park will often allow visitors to approach them from below and take close-up photos. But don't try to get above them, or the entire herd will run away. The bighorn's escape route from predators is always upward. On level ground, a bobcat or cougar can easily overtake the wild sheep, but scrambling up a boulder-strewn slope, the bighorns will get away every time. Years ago, I heard a speaker say, no matter what danger you face from trouble or temptation, don't let it get between you and God. As Christians, our escape route is always upward toward the Lord. Never downward into sin or self-pity. The psalmist's words remind us how to keep difficulty on the downhill side. Psalm 5, verse 3 says, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. And then in a beautiful word picture, David described how God answered his prayer for help. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. The example of the bighorns and the words of the psalmist teach us to keep spiritual danger on the downhill side with wide open upward path between ourselves and God. You can be sure of your footing when you walk close to Jesus.
Amen.
Let's look at verses 30 and 31. As David continues to give thanks to God for the victories he was able to win, and he comes back to pondering the greatness of God.
As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?
David speaks from experience. You know, in all the crisis moments of his life, God had proven himself to be faithful to his word over and over, to be his shield and to be his rock. And God had done so in some pretty extreme circumstances. So again, at the end of the psalm, Psalm 18, verses 46 through 50, let's hear what David said.
The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David, and his descendants forevermore.
So the Lord lives, blessed be my rock, mm-hmm. and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Yes.
Let's think about some things that we can learn from Psalm 18 very quickly. Maybe a short song, Brian. We can learn that we can make God our refuge in every trial we face. We can call out to him. We can trust him for deliverance. No threatening enemy can overcome God. God is a fortress to everyone who takes refuge in him. Trust in him to enable us to do things we could not do in our own strength. And finally, rest in the Lord. Be assured of ultimate victory in him. Lessons from Psalm 18.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch on this Friday. Join us next week for The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio.